So today's title of the talk is "You Are the Face of God," and we're going to look at a few things, a few different aspects of that. However, I'm giving you a fair warning. Between now and the end of the service, I'm going to teach you the symbols, the signs for "You Are the Face of God," and I want you to pay attention because there's going to be a moment where all of our children are going to come here today. They're going to come back in here, and they're going to be singing this to you all and to the parents of all these children. And so I want you to then be able to feed back to them, "You are the face of God." Okay? I got your willingness?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, good. Because, you know, we'll let them do it first and then we'll sign back to them. So I told Dennis today, I have a story. It's kind of a funny story for me. It's just another story of how the temptation to beat myself up. Anybody know that temptation? Anybody do that around here besides me? Ooh, too much collaboration or too much collusion on that one. So Friday night, we had a beautiful solstice experience. And let's give a warm welcome or a warm applause to my 300 students who created that. It was lovely. It was a lovely thing. Over the months, I'll be talking about all the lessons that I've been learning and letting go and allowing and making room, which I thought I was, and I guess I wasn't, and now I am, and it's just like, oh my God, it's a great thing. So at the end of the service, Dennis says to me, because he has all these great pictures in his camera, and sometimes we don't get them as quick as we'd like them, so he said, "I'll give you the S card," and I thought, oh good, so he took the, you know what that is, it's the memory within the camera, and it's a little thing, oh, about this big. Can you tell where this is going? And so he took this thing and he wrapped it in a tissue, okay? And we know where that went, you know, where I put all the important things to me when you hand stuff to me on Sundays or whenever. And so, however, the old me would have forgotten it was there. I would have gotten home. I would have undressed. It would have fallen on the floor. And I would have gone, oh dear, you know? But the new me got into the car and said, "Don't take a chance. Put it away." So I opened the zipper in my pocketbook and I safely tucked it away, right in appropriate place. Good, right? That's good. Yes, good, right? Come on. Okay. However, me being me, somehow between Friday night and doing the right thing and this morning, I forgot that I did the right thing. So this morning I'm heading back here and I know I have to hand him the S card. And I don't remember that I made that decision. And I'm thinking, where's the S card? And I have like 20 minutes, maybe 30 minutes of total panic. I won't tell you what I said. But I was in this panic. And all of a sudden, a memory came to me because I remember that I had had a tissue on the bedroom floor between my bed and my bureau. And I remember picking that tissue up and throwing it away and thinking, now this is funny already knowing the thing is safe, right? But I'm thinking I threw it away, so now I'm in the garbage, picking through tissues, trying to see what I did with this S card. And I can't find it anywhere. And I'm thinking, all right, maybe I can lie. I'm like, no, that's not an option. That's the old me. That's a long old me. Okay, that's not going to work. What am I going to do? I thought, all right, I'm just going to tell him. I know he loves me. This is a really messed up thing, but I know he'll forgive me because I know that. I know that he'll forgive me. I'll stop at CVS. I'll buy a new S card. I'll give him the S card and apologize, and that'll be it. This is my reality for like 30 minutes, okay? I'm still into this, and now I have a call with my prayer partner, and I'm thinking to myself, maybe I should pray with my prayer partner to find this thing. And then I think, No, I got other stuff. I'll just deal with this. But there was also a message in the back of my mind. And the message was, that's the old you. Even though I still didn't have the memory right away. So this proceeded for another few minutes. And then all of a sudden, in the middle of doing whatever, I thought, I never brought it in the house. So I went out to the car and opened my zipper, and there it is, and it's back in his possession. But for 30 minutes, my reality was hell on earth. And we do that. We make stuff up. And when I'm not in public, I say something else there. But we make stuff up. We make stories up. We make stories up about ourselves. We make stories up about each other. And then we live according to the story we make up. Yes? I know you've done this. And one of the things that we do, and one of the things, thank God, in the middle of all this, now here I am coming to, you know, to teach about you are the face of God, but I'm in total beat-up mode, at least for that time, for that period. And I thought, wow, if I know, if I believe somebody like Tiverico and this beautiful little sleeping baby here, if I believe they're the face of God. And then I believe our older children are the face of God. And then I believe our teenagers are the face of God. Where do any one of us stop being the face of God? Where does that happen? Where do we come from being the face of God to being the culprit? Now, I originally was going to do a whole shock value thing, and I had pictures of, you know, Hitler as a baby and Hitler as an adult. And I thought, that's a cheap shot, so I'm not doing it. However, where do we cease? Where does any one of us cease being that face of God? And with myself, why was I not being more gentle? Like, even though it wasn't that bad, it wasn't that long of a time, there was a time that could have lasted for hours because I would have been in such a panic. I can regroup more quickly than I used to. But for that period of time, why wasn't I being more self-loving? One of the things that's been happening with this seasonal change and with the transition of this solstice from the 2012 into the 2013 and the new consciousness, the new evolutionary consciousness that's coming into place. For me, I do not think that it's things that are all that large and that radical. I believe it's the smaller things. I said some of this on Friday night. And I think you know it. Maybe you haven't given a name to it. But when a father of a child that has just been murdered, only days later can stand on public TV and give his condolences and his caring, loving words to the perpetrator and the family of a perpetrator, we're in a new time. We're in a new time, and we're in a time where if you pay attention, and like I said, maybe you've been just too busy. Maybe you're busy with the holidays or busy with life. But if you stop and pay attention, you will sense that there is something underneath that is different. There is a new language out there. There are new books being written and a new way of being that's showing up more and more and more. Now, to the contrary, and this is what happens, let's bring a little bit of pure religious science. There is something, and I've spoken to you about this, and if you've been in my classes, you definitely have known about this. There is something that we call chemicalization, a really not pleasant, not wonderful word to describe a very important activity that happens when we start our spiritual growth. Chemicalization is the act and the action that happens when you and I decide we want to be, let's say you want to be a dignitary of peace. You want to go around the earth and you want to be a peace adversary. And then your world starts to fall apart. You get angry. Your marriage falls apart or starts to fall apart. Your job starts to give you trouble. Your boss picks on you. And you're saying, wait a minute, I'm about peace. What's up with this? And that is because when we make a large declaration of who we want to be, anything that does not reflect that must go. You understand? So if I say I am prosperous, I am totally 100% prosperous, and I'm going to be prosperous for the rest of my life, and then the mortgage comes due, and maybe there's an increase or bills come up that don't know, it's because I'm finding a way to gently navigate the opposite and to shed it. So I say all that to say, in the world, right now there are some things that look like what I'm talking about is not true. In the Middle East, in Egypt and many of the places, it looks like what I'm saying is not so. But you can imagine that if that happens on the idea of the individual, for an individual, then on the larger collective scale, as communities like this, people like us, not just in centers for spiritual living, but anybody, any teaching, any Buddhist, any Taoist, anybody who believe in possibility, that our collective consciousness is coalescing in this new evolution. And a lot of it has to do with kindness and gentleness and compassion. Then what's going to happen is that which is unlike it is going to come up. So the next important point for us is to then have a very gentle view of that, believe it or not. Is to have a very gentle eyes on and not to go into serious radical judgment about how wrong it is. Joe Schneider, and I say all that, now I'm going to tell you something contrary. Joe Schneider, we had a mastermind meeting last week, and Joe Schneider, Joe is just a big thinker. I love when Joe's around, and he's always pushing me to a new idea, which is such a great thing. And he right now is selling a product that it is a solar testing. I have no idea really what it is. You know, maybe some engineer in the room might be able to figure it out, but I have no real clue. But it's a big product. It's a high-end product. It's a very expensive product. And he's talking to people in... help me. Where is he? Bill? What? In Arabia. Right. And so he has to learn a little bit of the culture. So he's dealing with a person who is a consultant to prepare him in case he has to go over there. And so this is what he was told. If you go there and you're in the streets and you see a woman, do not acknowledge her, do not talk to her, do not engage her. For if you do, you will be thrown in jail. What an incredible idea to us, right? That seems incredible. But I got news for you. We don't get to judge. We don't get to say what's right and what's wrong. We just get to keep doing what it is that we do. And then allow that. Over time, those of us who will live long enough to see it, we will see a change. Our children will see a change. I don't believe you can help to not see it. Because the kind of effect that this consciousness and this work is having is, it's, you know, when any gardeners in the room, when you garden, you don't take a fertilizer and pour it on the plant itself. You take your fertilizer and you pour it into the soil, and systemically it's drawn up through the plant. But see, that's what's happening with us. We are having an effect where systemically we are touching the consciousness, the love, the vibration of the earth. We can't force anything into place. It is why in this teaching we talk so often and we remind everybody, it's not always about the actions, but the actions have to follow the consciousness. The consciousness must precede. And that's how we systemically affect the change of the world. Got it? Okay. So when we were preparing for this Sunday, and you know, like when I had asked Abby Aska to participate, and I had asked my son Seth, and more like begged him, actually, and he acquiesced, you know. And so I, you know, every once in a while I drop a reminder, remember that. And the other day we're driving in the car, and he says to me, "You just can't imagine how much I don't want to do this." I thought, then you're not doing it. No, he said, "I promise." I'm like, "No. I totally release you, because I will not have your memory of this day to be one that says Mom bullied me into speaking in front of the center." Appropriately so. However, I did say to him, "I reserve the right to talk to you. I reserve the right to ask you some questions, because I want to know what is it like to be in your skin. what is it like to grow up in my house, as you can imagine, okay? And the kind of conversations that happen all the time. We have groups over, the practitioners over the years have been over there. For God's sake, the center was in my home for 5 years. The volunteers come there. He watches me pray. He hears people call and I go off. So this is his exposure all the time. What is it like to be you in this day and age compared to what might be happening around you with other teens? And so that was the question. I said, what do you see different? And the words that followed filled me to just deep satisfaction that I thought this is the only thing a parent could want for their kids. And that was that he knows he always has a choice. That he's not at the mercy of anything. I'm like, oh, thank you, God. That he doesn't have to find excuses why things, because he sees his friends and it's always the coach's fault or the teacher's fault or mom's fault or whatever. And he's aware he doesn't have to play that game. And I thought, oh, thank you, God. If you get nothing else, thank you for getting that. That's what we get, but that's what we sometimes as adults forget. We forget the whole you are the face of God is a real thing. So you are the face of God, but guess what? So am I. I am the face of God. And one of the other things that's been calling to me, and I was invited to two parties last night, so I'm publicly apologizing for not going out of the house because I've been called to be quiet. I've been called to be calm. I've been called to be resting. And that's what I did. I was in my pajamas from the moment I woke up. Well, I wore the same pajamas. TMI, I guess, but that's what it is. And I was called to be in a state of quiet. And some crocheting and some baking, but at my pace in my home. And I've been practicing better self-care. And this is something I want to remind you about. You are the face of God. So in that being the face of God, you get to care for yourself. You get to not, you know, I don't know what it would look like if we all instantly started doing this at the same time without having it be graceful. But imagine a world with me right now where you didn't do anything out of obligation. You didn't do anything out of obligation. You went somewhere because you wanted to go. You did something because you know you chose to do it. Now, that doesn't mean you won't do things for other people. You do things for other people, but be clear why you're doing it. You know, we had a practitioner meeting a couple of months ago, and every once in a while I hear things I never heard before, and we were creating our vision statement, and we were looking at the word, because the word selfless kept coming in. But being who we are, we're aware there's nothing selfless. And the funny thing is, I just saw a funny episode of Friends where, what's her, the blonde? Phoebe. And that character just totally annoys me. But for some reason, I caught a couple moments of it where she was trying to find herself to do a selfless act where she didn't get anything back. But she couldn't find a way to do it because every time she did something, she got something back. And that's the truth. But imagine a world where you didn't do it out of some obligation, the weight of that. What if you showed up because you wanted to be full, and you showed up because you wanted to shine, and you showed up because you wanted to touch the life of another? Imagine what that vibration would be like. Imagine that. That'd be a lot easier to get to you are the face of God, wouldn't it? You are the face of God. I am the face of God. And then there's one other piece of it. God is the face of me. See, God is the face of you. And that's hard for a lot of the world. I know that's sacrilegious to some, and I don't mean to offend. I'm not talking about the God Almighty sitting in a chair, doling out promises. I'm talking about the vibration of God. That is the vibration of good. That is the vibration of love. That is the vibration of peace and possibility and compassion. That God, that good, that part. You are the face of God. And every time you look in the mirror, it will so behoove you to get with that. All the mistakes, with all the blemishes, with all the errors, with all the blind spots in your consciousness. You understand? If you stay on this path and you get that I am the face of God, and you let nothing veer you off, have you veer off that path, you will have stories to tell of transformation. You will have stories to tell about your family and healing like you could never tell. So I want to add one more piece because this is so sweet. This is so sweet. And you keep hearing about it over time. And in January, Bill Sarnowski and I, who are, Bill's my ex, we're going to do a workshop in January and or February because Paul Train is going to be away. He asked us to speak to his parenting group, but we're going to do it for the whole, whoever wants to be there. And the title of the talk that day is Love After Divorce, and in parentheses, with your ex. Okay? So here, Bill. You know, here's Bill and his beautiful wife Marilyn, and we're going to be spending Christmas breakfast together and Christmas dinner together. And we do this every year. This is our family. When I say family, this is my family. However, it's gone further. I now got an invitation to her sister's house for Christmas Eve, and I love that. I love that her sister, her Italian Catholic sister, who probably first looked at me when I first came around like, what are you doing here, is now saying, come to Christmas Eve. I so want to go. I can't. I don't think I can make it work. I so want to go because I love that. You don't get invited to someone's house like that unless they really want you there. That's what you get when you get into, I am the face of God and you are the face of God and God is the face of me. And that's what we have to do and that's what we have to carry out. You know, right? You hear me? So Beth, would you come up? Just in case I forget, because I'm a little discombobulated at the moment. So we're going to teach you the signs for you are the face of God, okay? So, go ahead. No, go ahead.
So if you're right-handed, you use your right hand. If you're left-handed,
you're on your own. Right-handed. Make stuff up.
Okay, so you are the face.
I hold you in my heart. I hold you in my heart.
You are a part, so you're, like you're making a little flight, a part of me. You are the face of God.
What?
The next one. Okay. So you are the face of love. The next verse. I hold you in my heart. You are my family. So it's index and thumb together by your heart.
That's right.
Family. Okay, let's do that again. Back in, palms out, family. And then you are the face of God.
Of love. The second one.
Oh,
okay. Okay. Sorry. One love in God.
Okay. You have to do it together, all together at once. We'll do the two verses. Okay, so you are the face of God. I hold you in my heart. You are a part of me. You are the face of God. In other verses, you are the face of love. I hold you in my heart. You are my family. You are the face of God.
So when our children come in, try not to cry because I'm old. Or cry, go ahead, cry. You know what they say, cry more, pee less. So we're going to acknowledge our children. Oh, what? Oh, and they're doing the collection. Here, first I'm going to do a prayer. Yep, we're going to do collection. It's going to be at the end. But first, let's just pray this idea up that you are the face of God. So if you will, please be willing to hold the hand of somebody. Please connect. Please. Please feel safe. Please feel loved. Please feel seen. Please feel acknowledged. Let us breathe into the room and take this loving vibration from the room. There is one idea in the mind of God. It is a good idea. That idea is you. That idea is who you are. And for this moment on this day, I ask you now to each speak aloud your name into the room now. Michelle. Yes. So we invoke the presence and the power of God by means of each individual whose name has been spoken into the room. We open this space to allow the child within. It is said that to enter the kingdom, you must be of a child. That's childlike consciousness. That is a sense of innocence and sweetness. So let us enter the kingdom of our own consciousness through our heart, through the love that we are. Let us carry this forth into 2013. Let us carry this forth into our family. Let's be the change. Let us be the change. Let us be the wholeness, the love, the peace, the sweetness of life itself. And I trust anything that needs to move out of the way in order for that to happen does so. So let total health return to anyone here who's experiencing anything less than that. Let total consciousness of prosperity be the reality for each person here. Let peace precedeth all things. And let us gently walk into the new year with great love and great compassion. I'm so, so incredibly grateful for this community, for this consciousness, for Ernest Holmes. I'm grateful for Jesus and Buddha and Mother Teresa. And who are you grateful for? Shout a name into the room. We're grateful our way showers, the mentors, the avatars. Sometimes they are our children. So let us speak love only. Let us speak peace. Let that be who we are. And on this good and glorious day, let us remember, you are the face of God. I am the face of God. However, God is the face of me. And for this incredible truth, I am grateful and I surrender this word. And so it is.